L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. McIntyre, International Relations, very generously commenting on six capitals. We've spoken of the sixth capital as Tokyo, but this week the sixth capital is Berlin. Striking symmetry that Berlin and Japan are together in this conflict. One, war drums. That would be Tokyo. The other, swords into plowshares. And then, Professor Olaf Scholz is the head of the Social Democrats, a party that has been extremely sympathetic to Russia for many years, sympathetic to East Germany for many years, sympathetic to socialism for many years. But for the purposes of this conversation, they're understood as the pacifists of Germany, the leading pacifists of Germany, and Olaf Scholz is a good representative, but he's chancellor. The Green Party, heretofore not associated with warlike behavior, has become the most outspoken adversary of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The party of Christian Lindner, the Free Democrats, are a party of finance and are also supporting the Green Party in its bellicosity, leaving Olaf Scholz with a coalition government that wants to provide arsenal of Germany to Ukraine. But the hesitation, I can't entirely explain it. It has to do with history. It has to do with the party. It has to do with Germany not wishing to cut off the possibility of re-engaging with Russia after the war. So your measure of Germany now, and we bring in George Kennan. George Kennan was extremely successful in the Cold War period following the Second War to helping the United States manage the Soviet Union. That was then, this is now, but a new article in Foreign Affairs, you and I have both corresponded about it, makes the point that it was George Kennan's opinion that it was impossible to draw a boundary between Russia and Ukraine, and an accommodation was possible. These are two people, however, it's one large culture. So I mention that because Germany's also aware of this history and it appears now and again uncomfortable with alienating Russia in order to maintain a non-defined Ukraine. So, Berlin point of view this week, Professor.
Well, Berlin really it's a Rubik's Cube right now because they should understand that their location in Europe is such that if Russia succeeds, if Ukraine should lose and be conquered by Russia, that would be absolutely disastrous for Germany and for the other European countries, but particularly for Germany. I'll talk in a second about public opinion in Germany. That's where I'd like to go. But Scholz clearly has very little understanding, if any, of war, except that the Germans don't do it because they tried it, and it really was a very unhappy story. And they tried it twice in the last century, and each time was an unhappy story. So he said that the Leopard tanks can go, but there will be no aircraft because, as he puts it, that would escalate the war. Well, I find that absolutely stupefying. What matters to Germany is who wins this war. And if the Russians come out of this war strong and having defeated the best that the West can do and having shown the NATO, that all these rich countries in NATO and that we are unable, having committed to the defense of Ukraine, to see that through, that's very, very bad for Germany. And yet they don't seem to really grasp where they are on the globe. And they're living, many of them are living in an imaginary world in which resisting aggression and guaranteeing German security is either optional or it's done by the United States. And that's just not realistic at all. I don't think the United States is ever going to play the kind of role that she's played until very recently. I think that in the future, Eurasia should be, there's going to be a balancer in the East, and that's going to be Japan and the countries allied with Japan. And Japan is going to be a formidable superpower. The Chinese are scared to death of Japan. I often think that they're more scared of Japan than they are of us. Germany would be the logical country in the West. And I think eventually it may come to that, but my goodness. If you look at the polls, and I should point out that it's not clear that in the United States, the polling, it doesn't indicate that there's support, overwhelming support or even majority support in the United States for the war. And that's dereliction by the government not to deal with the population. But 46% of Germans are in favor of sending tanks and 43 are against it. Now, the younger Germans, 18 to 24-year-olds, 52% believe that tanks should not be sent. This is no joke. I mean, do they understand what they're saying? Are they going to be happy if Russia reestablishes a powerful military presence in Ukraine? This is not. They are not fully cognizant of what it's like over on the other side of Poland. And so, as I said, 52% of 18 to 24-year-olds are against it. But the clearest, the most fascinating thing is that 61% of the Greens, and we always think of the, or I tend to think of the Greens as being slightly ditzy when it comes to foreign policy, they're in favor of the tanks, and they're very supportive of Ukraine. Schulz's party, of course, as you mentioned, is the SPD, and less than half of the SPD support the Social Democratic Party support Schulz. Now, the party that is most opposed is the what would be described in the press as the new ultra-right party in Germany, the AfD, the Alternative for Deutschland, the Alternative for Germany party, which is sort of like the Le Pen movement or like the Vlaams Blok or whatever it's called in Belgium. This is a right, so-called right-wing party, They don't have the traditional, the often common German view, which is that we have to take on the Russians. I think, if anything, they have the view that Bismarck had, which is that we just have to keep the Russians. Bismarck had a very intelligent way of keeping the Russians at bay through the reinsurance treaty, but that's not something to talk about on the air now. But the AfD is a new party founded I think it was founded in 2015. It's described as right-wing, and it is in the sense that it is socially. That's what it wants in Germany. But from foreign policy, it doesn't really have a foreign policy. It has a German policy. And it's very interesting. It's strongest in Saxony. And what's Saxony? That's Dresden and Leipzig. That is the southeast corner of Germany, right above the Czech Republic and right before you come to what used to be Eastern Europe. And it's also, that was the former East Germany. And it turns out that the former East Germans are not so much that they are incredible German nationalists and they want a much more tighter rule in Germany, but they don't take an internationalist view of Germany's role as one of the guarantors of international peace. So I think that what we in America should be trying to do is deal with the emerging reality, the reality of Japan as a great power with South Korea and Taiwan and Australia and so forth and India all involved. That is an emerging reality which is going to greatly stabilize the eastern end of Eurasia. And it would make sense, really, for the Germans to be the core power at the western end. But what we're seeing now, as you say, is Hamlet. I mean, they've got a coalition that can't agree about anything, and there's no default leader. France is clearly not going to do the job, and the British have left Europe, although they're still where they were, but they are, and furthermore, they're going to have probably a big change of regime in the next election, because Rishi is the least popular prime minister in history, 100 days in. So I think that I worry about Germany because they are very strong. They've got lots of resources, but they've gone off the track repeatedly in the past. This time, I think they may go off the track in the direction of isolationism, whereas in the past they've, how should we put this delicately, they've involved themselves too much in the affairs of their neighbors. But a stable, responsible Germany, and God knows they can do it, I believe they can do it, would be a huge plus. And to have Eurasia bracketed by Germany and Japan would put America back where we should be, because we have no business guaranteeing the security of Eurasia.
Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, very generous, commenting on Six Capitals, Six Points of View, Winter 2023, Ukraine Conflict, European War, Global North War, Global War. This is the
Friends Eurasian of War.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. Thank you, Professor. I'm John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience, has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.